Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Uber. If you read the definition, it's a prefix of sorts, way before it was somebody that took you for a ride. And Uber was denoting an outstanding or supreme example of a particular kind of person or thing. It's of German origin, and the word literally means over. There was a word Übermensch. If you go back, it was the ideal superior man of the future who could rise above conventional Christian morality to create and impose his own values, originally described by Nietzsche in Thus Spake Zarathustra back in the 1883s to 1885. It's also called, this Übermensch was a superman, an overman. Some people we'd refer to as uber rich, uber talented, uber connected, uber anything, but that means super, very big time. I have a longtime friend who, if you met him, you would say uber Christian. He was a soul winner. And as I say the word was, you'll understand in a minute that he no longer is. Walked with God, talked with God. Anywhere he was, talked of his faith, anyone who knew him, he and Jesus inseparable. Toward the end of his life, he got depressed. He could not sleep. He was seeing doctors. He got on medication, and he wrote some letters to his wife, his four kids, a dear friend of mine, one of his dear friends, and on a Wednesday morning, took a gun and blew his brains out. You say, well, how is that possible for an uber Christian, someone who everyone knew walked with God, everyone knew that he loved Jesus, he loved God, and yet in a few months, in a few moments, it can all go bad, it can all go terrible. Go to Psalm 103. So how does God deal with people like us? How does he have a relationship, and he knows before the world was even, the slab was poured, before the world was created, before anything that is now was, he knew we were coming. He knew that we would need him. He knew that we would be lost, that we would be weak, that we would do stupid things. And he chose us. He came after us anyway. But look at Psalm 103. Jump down to verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. I have tested that. He's merciful and gracious. How do I know he's merciful? Because if I got what I deserved, it wouldn't be mercy. So he's merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in mercy. It's one thing to be merciful. Now he's abounding in mercy. It just keeps coming. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, you feel bad for your kids. You go, look what they're doing. This is not going to work. Why don't they get it? He pities his children. So the Lord pities those who fear him. Now, let me tell you something fundamentally that I did not know for some reason for a long time. He is on your side. You say, but I'm not even a Christian. How could God be for me? I feel like he would be against me. He was for you before you ever were. He sent his son Jesus to die, be buried, raised from the dead, knowing you were coming, knowing you'd be lost, and would extend life, eternal life, abundant life, make all of this available if you would get in on the deal. So he's for you. And he pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. That's all we are. I'm walking around in this vehicle, this body, that eventually, if Jesus does not come back, this body is going to shut down. Now, in a way, let's see if this will help explain some of this. I am the Uber driver and Uber vehicle, and Jesus has the app. And so what happened is, he said, I would like to use you permanently. In fact, if you'll agree to this, I will let you drive me around the rest of your life. So I signed up for this, to be an Uber Christian. Not in the superhuman Christian, but in terms of availability. You say, well, that sounds more like a chauffeur. It kind of turns into that. I used to think, well, God needs to be your pilot. I don't think that anymore. You say, well, then he needs to be your co-pilot. That's not what he is. He's your passenger. You say, well, what do you mean by that? He gets in and he relies on us to do what he asks. So he jumps in the back seat and says, okay, today I want to go to this place. And we start the car, we take off, and all of a sudden he says, excuse me, where are we going? Oh, I gotta run by the house. I gotta go by the store. I gotta run some errands. He says, whoa, wait a minute. Look, I'm not just paying you, I own you. This is where we're going today. Well, sorry, dude, that's not where we're going today. You just be quiet back there. I'll do the driving. And then you end up in a mess. You end up in a bad place. You end up in a wreck. You end up with problems. And then we go, hey, Jesus, we got a problem. Fix it. Save me. I'm so sorry. We should have gone where you said. And he goes, okay, well, can we go there now? Okay, we'll go there finally after we've gone on these goose chases. So you say, well, what is it supposed to look like? How's it supposed to work? If it's working the way it's supposed to work, even with our humanity, even that we are dust, he gets in your life and he says, okay, I got this. It's not that we will never go anywhere fun. It's not that we will never take a break. Not that we will never pull over. Not that there aren't any rest stops. Not that there's no chance to do anything else. But I have a purpose and a plan for your life and this vehicle, and I need you to follow instructions. And I need you to talk to me. In fact, I may not want the radio on. I may need you singing to me. Sing to me. Sing me a little song. Tell me how great I am. Sing me a song about me. Thank me for being a passenger in your car, and that I'm not just going to get you in this life where you belong, but I'm going to ride with you over the finish line into the presence of the Father. And you say, well, that sounds pretty simple. It's that simple. You become a Christian. When you become a Christian, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have any challenges anymore, but it does mean that God himself gets in your vehicle, and now he is in a place and you're in a place to hear his voice. And when he calls the shots, you say, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. No, sir. Whatever the answer is supposed to be in your life. You say, but what if he takes me some tough places? If you don't go to his tough places, you're going to end up in your own tough places. You're going to end up in tough places. It's just better to go his way than your way. Oh, I'm going to avoid this situation that God's trying to get me into, and I'm going to go over here and hide. And then that creates a whole other set of problems. Go to John chapter 10. Love John chapter 10, verse 22. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you're the Christ, just say it. Just tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. The stuff I'm doing, you should know I'm Messiah. Look at what I'm doing. But you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. As I said to you, and then this is back up to the story previously up in this chapter, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they what? They follow me. How do you know if you're one of his sheep? When he speaks, his sheep follow. You say, well, I think I'm his sheep. I'm not following. I'm not obeying. Then get with the program. Well, but I don't know that I want to do that because I got this sin. Then confess your sin and get on with this. People say, well, but you know, I just can't get rid of this. And how is that working out for you? It's not going to ever work out. That sin that so easily besets you that you hold on to like it's some little blankie sucking your thumb, holding the blankie, rubbing your fingers on the, you know, the soft part. Oh, this, I can't let go of this. And it's killing you. And it's stealing your whole life. And in the worst case scenario, even with an Uber Christian, if you let that stuff go, you say, well, it's only this little bit. But if you let it go, it gets worse. And then it gets worse and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. And pretty soon you're having thoughts of killing yourself
because you're so discouraged, you're so far from God, it's so overwhelming, you can't take it anymore. Stay with him. Stay with his people. Stay in the word. Stay in communication with him.
Keep reading verse 27 again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me, he is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. In other words, I'm God, and that doesn't go over big with them. You want somebody Uber? Get you God. He's above everybody, anything. Go to Romans chapter 7. If there was ever an Uber Christian, apart from Jesus himself, God in the flesh, Paul is the Uberest of the Ubers. It seems in human form, he had all this amazing game. Not just his credentials from his life, his education, where he comes from, but look at Romans chapter 7, verse 15. And this, by the way, is not as a young man he's saying this. This is probably toward the end of his life, and he says this, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, in other words, the thing that I really want to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I'm doing what I don't want to do, I agree with the law that it is good, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh or in my body, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. And do you have that feeling ever? Like, I really want to do the right thing, but then to go to do it, it just falls apart. I didn't intend to do this. I really, my will, my desire inside is to do the right thing, but it all goes out the window. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So you still have to deal with sin. I find in a law, evil's present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man. This is Paul, this uber Christian Paul writing this. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God, he says, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He said, I want this battle to go away. It's not going away till you're dead or Jesus comes back and you're with him. It's not going away. He said, then what do? You fight. You choose. You listen. You say, Lord, what are we doing today? And he says, this is where we're going. This is what we're going to do. You say, yes, sir. And then even then, all along the way, you're going to get attacks because the enemy is going to try to stop what God is trying to do in and through you. You say, well, this is nuts. It's just the way it is. It's a war. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. We need Jesus every second of every day because it's in him that we live and move and breathe and have our being. You can do nothing without him. You say, well, I'm going to take a few days off. Try taking a few days off from your breathing, and that'll end up about as good as you're taking a few days off from Jesus. You say, yeah, but I'm still alive. Really? Let's track it and see how well things worked out. When you said, Jesus, I'm out, window goes up, I'm going to do what I want to do. Romans 8, next chapter. Romans 8, let's look at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there's this law of sin, but it's like the law of aerodynamics trumps the law of gravity. A greater law trumps another law. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So what do you think about? What have you set your mind on? What do you wake up every day and set your mind on? You say, well, I don't wake up and have a quiet time and pray and sing songs to Jesus in the back of the car, but I'm not trying to be evil. You default to sin.
If you do not set your things on the mind of the Spirit, you will default to the flesh. You say, I didn't pick that. You don't have to pick it. It picks you. So you get to the end of your day and you go, what the heck? How did this all go so wrong? Because you did not set your mind on the things of the Spirit. You did not say, okay, God, I want your will done on earth as it is. I want these basic things. I'm here. I'm listening. I'm connected. I'm following. I'll go where you want me to go. Do what you want me to do. And even then I know I could get hit. But I don't want to default to my sin nature. So help me. So help me, God. Keep reading. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Who would not want life and peace as opposed to death? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if you're a Christian, he does, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So if you want to look like you're a child of God, a son of God, then do this. Be led by the Spirit of God. How do you get led by the Spirit of God? You keep the window down and you listen. And when he says, go see this person, text this person, send money to this, whatever he tells you to do, you say, yes, sir. Thank you, sir, for this tremendous opportunity to live and obey and trust you. And you speak to whomever he tells you to speak, no matter what he says to do. You sit down on a plane. My Uber Christian buddy who's dead now would get on a plane and there's no telling how many people will end up in heaven because this guy sat next to him just on airplanes and led him to Christ. It's a complete waste for him to be gone. And it's a combination of things. It makes me mad at hell for sure. And borderline mad as hell along the way. Because it is a real war and there are casualties. And I am tired of the casualties. And if we are going to treat it like a war and we're going to go into war, we cannot go alone. And we have to look at each other and pay attention. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How do I know I'm a Christian? Because the Holy Spirit of God that lives in me tells me, you're mine. You're one of mine. I don't sit around wondering whether I'm a Christian. I don't look like one. I don't sound like one. I don't live like one all the time. But I know inside his spirit bears witness with my spirit that he's my dad. This Abba Father. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Everybody got it? And here the writer starts his sentence. He says, my little children. So this is family, believers. He knows that they are little children, brothers and sisters in Christ. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. So he's saying, I'm giving you all this information. I'm sending these letters. I'm giving you this scripture, as it turns out to be, so that you won't sin. So it's not about meeting a quota every day. You go, oh, well, it's already 10. I haven't screwed up yet. I better do something stupid. You're not under some quota system. The point is, this is all giving that what? So that you may not sin. But look after the period. And if anyone sins. So it makes allowance. It does not say you have to. It's not that the goal is to sin, but it says, and if anyone sins, which happens and is going to happen, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, by this, we know that we know him. And how do you know that you know him? Look, it's replete through the scriptures. If we keep his commandments. Now you say, well, that's just a bunch of rules. I'm going to get the 10 commandments. It says, don't steal. I'm not going to steal. This is not just about keeping a bunch of rules. It is about living a life of responsive obedience, where when God says to you in the person of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to do this again. You say, well, I don't want to do it because it's wrong. Worse than that, you don't want to do it because it grieves him. Not just checking off a box, I didn't steal again. It's not just about keeping a bunch of commandments, a bunch of rules, because honestly, you can't keep them without him. He gives you the power. He is the one that gives you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, the scripture says. By this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought also himself also to walk just as he walked. So what does this come back to over and over and over again? Relationship. A relationship with God that is established through Jesus. Trusting him, letting him live in and through your life. An ongoing relationship every day of your life where you check in, you wake up, you go, Lord, thank you for protecting me in the night, for waking me up. I have another day. If you're healthy, thank him. If you have food to eat, if you have clothes to wear, something to wear, say, thank you, Lord, that I have clothes to wear. Simple stuff. You'd be amazed how different your day goes. And then you're in a better place. You're in a better attitude. Then you see someone who's discouraged and you go, wow, what's going on with you? And you walk through the scriptures and look at what Jesus was doing, sitting down talking to one woman, or he just living, he was just going, and whatever he saw the Father do, that's what he did. Whatever he heard the Father say, that's what he said. You say, yeah, well, look how it ended up for him. Yeah, look how it ended up for him and for us. He's on the throne and I'm going to die and be with him forever. Turned out pretty good listening to the Father. I went to my friend's funeral and I was okay. Until the wife and the four kids in the front row, and I was about three rows behind them, and I was watching the little girl especially, and the wife, the mom. And it's a crazy thing that Christians do. We sing at funerals. We worship at funerals. When tragedy, unspeakable tragedy in this case. And I watched as his wife began to sing. And then she raised her hand. And I wasn't okay anymore. Because in the midst of catastrophic loss, unspeakable tragedy, a small victory for hell, here's a woman who could still say, I trust you. I will worship anyway. That is the only way you're going to make it. So you better worship him today. And you better make some plans to worship him tomorrow and every day and trust him every day and walk with him every day, because Satan, like a roaring lion, walks around seeking whom he may devour. And that means you, that means me. And all it takes is one day, one moment, one time, and you're gone. You say, that'll never happen to me. Look at all the other junk that's happening to you right now that would never happen to you. You say, well, you want us to all be uber Christians. No, I may never be an uber Christian, but I got me an uber God.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Just listen, Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God,
did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because of all that, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, the Uber name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Confess him now when it's your choice, not then when everyone will have to, because then it'll be too late.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.